Welcome to Realcast. I'm joined by Judy Sebas, James Wallace and Nicole Dines for our regular roundup of the week in real assets. And our special topic this week is student housing and innovation districts. But let's start with the key themes of the week. Let's kick off with you, James.
Yeah, well, RCA released its European first quarter results earlier this week, and they show a surprising strength and resilience of markets. Actually, Q1 was up 7% quarter on quarter to 62.4 billion. So it shows the European real estate investment market at full throttle before the shuddering suspension of normal economic activity. Sort of looking within the numbers, RCA had said that the story there is about a sort of a small number of very large deals and actually a big tail off of, say, sub 100 million size deals.
Yeah, there are a couple of very big deals that sort of illustrate, you know, what we may see more of in the coming months. First of all, we're seeing, you know, obviously the international buyers retreat, which is good news for the local domestic buyers. The Germans in particular are coming to the fore, and we're seeing like the three big deals that RCA highlighted for the first quarter all involved Germans as buyers. One of them was, I thought, particularly interesting. A large distribution unit to the north of London in Bedford was sold by a retailer to Decca in a sale and leaseback deal. And I think that's the sort of thing we may see more of, it because the retail sector is, of course, under great pressure. And needs to cut costs, and sale and leasebacks would be a great way of raising some extra funds.
The logistics sector was racing away in Q1 according to RCA's numbers. And they also mentioned that somewhat counterintuitively that shopping centre transactions were quite high. That's obviously quite surprising. Great for those investors that managed to sell, but you've got to question the underwriting of those deals and how the buyers are feeling now, possibly a little bit of buyer's remorse. There was a couple of other sort of indicators that gave a five-year high in the proportion of deals that collapsed over the period, and a considerable reduction in the number of active buyers. And so that kind of implies thin bidding pools.
The number of buyers is down really significantly compared to the normal figure, which normally there's around 1,000 to 1,200 buyers. And now in April, they only registered 150. So I think we're going to see the Germans and other local domestic buyers seeing opportunities.
It's interesting also that sale and leaseback side, because that was picked up in the innovation briefing that we had, where it's particularly looking at the life science, healthcare, innovation districts.
Well, the innovation districts briefing we had, there seemed to be obviously a great rise in private investors' interest in innovation and healthcare because of the crisis. It's also a very interesting sector because it obviously relies on private and public partnerships. But usually, as has been the case, that the public sector has led the way and then the private investors have come in, given the confidence to private investors to come in. And obviously, the epidemic is creating problems for obvious reasons, but it's also showing how these relationships can be strengthened in an emergency. And for example, the cooperation that has been among in the science was announced, AstraZeneca and Oxford University. So the COVID-19 crisis has obviously thrown up a lot of problems, but it also shows that when it needs to be, there can be a lot of collaboration between the private and public sectors, which works particularly in the science sector, in science parks and innovation districts. So that's a positive take for the future.
And there was also some research that came in around the demand from big banks in terms of their office requirements, or at least a kind of look forward to that. Did you pick that up, Judy?
Yes, two of the biggest banks in the world, Barclays and Morgan Stanley, have gone public saying that they won't need as much space as they now have after the pandemic. Their workers are working quite efficiently from home. Barclays has got 90% of their staff working at home at the moment. So obviously they need to cut costs too, because they've been reporting lower figures in the past quarter. So there's going to be quite a shake-up, I think.
If you think about the office market, it was actually one of the more moderately affected sectors because they were under sort of long leases by a stable part of the market. And now some are saying this temporary adjustment in behaviour change could trigger very different utilization levels of real estate going forwards. And that's, it's the same in offices as it is in student accommodation as well.
I mean, student accommodation is an interesting one. We had a focus on that this week. I was struck by certainly some of the polling that we did with the audience, but also struck actually by the fact that we had over 800 registrations for that session, which just indicates the level of interest at the moment in that market.
There seems to be a great belief that it continues to be a very resilient asset class. The poll showed 62% of delegates believed that to be the case. There was also some interesting data from Bonnard that in Asia, student housing used to be the bottom class in terms of investors' interest, and it's shot up to third most in demand in this year, in the last quarter, which obviously might be bad for Europe because it might point to Asian investors thinking there'd be more Asian students staying put in their own countries or in neighboring countries rather than travel back to Europe. We'll see how that pans out. But certainly there seemed to be in student housing the same theme that Judy was talking about earlier, of domestic investors very much being more active because they want to build critical mass, because they also expect operational costs to rise. So they want to invest while they can. People who have cash and firepower definitely investing in the sector, because there's a strong belief that it will come back. Obviously, the next few months are going to be difficult, but especially the markets like Germany, the Netherlands, Austria, that are undersupplied, while there's some doubts about the UK, which is definitely not undersupplied, if anything, oversupplied, and that it has relied very much on international students, particularly Asian students, and there's a question mark over whether they'll come back and in what numbers.
And James, in terms of other picks for the week?
The one that I thought was interesting was the announcement that was made Friday by Into Properties, the struggling sort of shopping centre landlord. They've announced that they have appointed a chief restructuring officer, which is a role which sounds possibly emblematic of the way things are going. They have made some agreements with their lenders that provide them their revolving credit facility, which is going to protect them from breaking their covenants, and also limiting exposure with their counterparties on credit default swaps. So that limits some potential downsides on their capital structure. And they also have given an update on how much rent that they have received in Q1, which they said back at the end of March was less than one third. It's crawled up to around 40% now, which is still quite low, which shows you just how much they've struggled to get the rent from their tenants. And sort of linked to that, actually, is a little bit of extra support by the UK government in the form of the new bounce back loans for the micro SMEs, and the retailers will fall in this category. And that is now the government offering to stand 100% to £50,000 for these very small SMEs. And because the government is providing full security, they can be provided much quicker. And so they can get into the hands of the companies within days, as opposed to the protracted delays that we've seen under the existing civil schemes. And hopefully, you would think that that would lead to these small occupiers, such as the retailers that we've talked about, being able to pay their rent.
And Nicole, in terms of some of the deals in Italy, were there any things you wanted to pick out?
There was a very interesting deal announced this week. Heinz, the big sort of US investors, is putting 350 million euros into a huge mixed-use residential-led scheme in Milan, in the San Siro area, where there's a football stadium and horse racing. And it's very interesting because it ticks all the boxes of what investors are looking for now and what people want now. It does have a retail element with shops and restaurants, but it's got an affordable housing element, which is very strong, and a lot of green spaces, and it's mixed use and residential led. So it really seems to be in line with what the market wants at the moment. And obviously it's interesting because it shows some confidence in Milan, if not Italy, but certainly Milan coming back after the crisis.
Great. Thanks very much, Judy, James and Nicole, and look forward to seeing you next week for our regular roundup of the markets. And we'll also be looking at ESG resilience and how that's driving sustainable returns as a special focus. Thanks very much for joining us, and look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.